We want to welcome our speaker, Mr. Thomas Lafferty. Mr. Lafferty is the minister's assistant in the church in Ballymena. He's been there now for a number of years, doing a great work and very busy in the Lord's house. He studied at the Whitfield College of the Bible, and as I told you this morning, while he was a student, he came across to Lurgan on a Thursday afternoon, and with the help of some others, he preached the gospel, gave out gospel literature, and witnessed to many in the town of Lurgan. And we're very grateful for that, and I remember it, and it will always be in my mind at a time of great blessing. Glad to have him today. We enjoyed the message this morning greatly, and we're looking forward to the Lord's word again, and I'm going to ask the Lord's servant to come and bring the message to us. Thank you.
Turn our Bibles, please, tonight to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 1. While you're looking that up, can I thank Mr. Crane again for his gracious words of welcome. It's my privilege to be here, and I trust that the Lord will bless us as we gather around his word. Can I also thank Mr. and Mrs. Dummigan for their hospitality today. They took me to their home and fed me and looked after me very well, so let me thank them publicly for their fellowship today, and I enjoyed it very much. And also all who have taken part in this meeting thus far, all who have sang and read the scriptures, thank you very much. My heart has been really blessed as I have listened to the program so far. So Matthew chapter 1, reading together please from verse number 18. Matthew 1, verse number 18. Let's hear the word of God. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer, and at this moment, let's just seek the Lord together, every believer laying hold on the Lord, seeking him for the help that we need in this meeting. Soon the final benediction will be pronounced. We'll not come this way again. This meeting will be gone, we'll get into God's eternity. And therefore we need the Lord's help, his grace, his power. So every child of God at this moment, laying hold consciously upon the Lord for the help that we need even now. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of his redeeming blood, we approach again the throne of grace and of mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all that has taken place thus far in this meeting. We thank you for the carols that have been sung that remind us of the birth of our blessed Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank you for all who have taken part, and we pray, O God, that you'll bless them and their souls as they have been such a blessing to us tonight. But, O God, we come now to thy word to hear what thou would say to us through the scriptures. And, O God, we cry that you'll close us in with thee. Lord, I confess before thy holy throne my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and my sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. O God, grant that divine baptism. Grant that holy anointing. The infilling of the Spirit of God with power. Lord, we pray against the devil. We stand under the victory of the cross. And we pray, O God, that the blood of the Lamb will prevail. And over this meeting, a sense of God will come in a powerful, in a real way, Lord. We pray that you'll just close us in with thee. And that the Holy Ghost will search every heart. And that even tonight in this meeting, souls might be born from above and saved for time and for God's great eternity. O God, hear prayer. We give the remainder of this meeting to thee. Surrender it in its entirety. Do that work which only thou can do. And save the lost, we pray. Give help now, and we'll ascribe to thee the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time of year, the time of year which we call the Christmas season, in the moments that remain in this meeting, I want to look with you at an event which took place in Bethlehem, a biblical event, an historical event, an event that caused the heavenly host, the angelic band, to praise God and to say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Of course, I am speaking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. And so just for the remainder of this meeting and the time that's left, I want to bring a message that I've entitled, The Glory of the Child in the Manger. The Glory of the Child in the Manger. Who was that one that was in the manger? Who was he? Why did he come? We'll see that a little later. But sinner friend, in this meeting without Christ, I want you to understand at this moment that you need the one that was born of Mary. You need him desperately. You're in your sin. You're heading for eternity. You're heading for judgment. You need Christ. You need the one that was born and wrapped in swaddling bands, as our brother read to us, and laid in the manger. You need him, and you need all that's found in him. Forgiveness of sins. Peace with God through him. A home in heaven by him. You desperately need him. Because to this point in your life, you haven't had him. Everyone in this meeting without Christ, you don't have Christ, you're not saved, you've never communed with God, your sins are not forgiven, you're not on your way to heaven, and right now at this juncture in the meeting, you need to understand that before we go any further. Because you might never leave this meeting. And I might never leave it. Life is volatile. The brevity of life is seen all around. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. And right now you don't have Christ. No hope of heaven. Sins not forgiven. Never at peace with God. Never communed with God. You desperately need the one that was laid in the manger. Who was he? Who was he? Verse 23 says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The word Emmanuel, it appears three times in the scriptures, three times in the word of God. Twice it appears in the prophecy of Isaiah, which our brother read to us earlier, and once here in Matthew. It means God with us. And dear people, as we gather here tonight, we who are mortal, we who are dust, we who are but dying creatures, creatures of time, let us always understand that the child who was laid in the manger was Emmanuel, God with us. He was Almighty God. God incarnate. God manifest in the flesh. John said there at the beginning of his gospel, John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, there's Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In verse 14 of that chapter he said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. He was Emmanuel. The one that was laid in the manger, he was Emmanuel, God with us. As our brother also read, Isaiah wrote these words 700 years before the incarnation, 700 years before the cross, when he wrote, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Oh, dear people, maybe you've got a Christmas card unsaved in this meeting, and on your fireboard, or somewhere in your home there's a card, and those words of Isaiah 9, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Understand, that card is declaring to you the deity of Christ. He was God. He was Emmanuel. God with us. God came in the person of his Son, intervened in a fallen world. Oh yes, who was he? He was God of very gods, but he was also man of very man. Look at verse 21, look what it says. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The word Jesus, it means Savior. Savior. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He was God. He was man. Paul put it in Galatians 4. When the fullness of time was come, that moment, set in eternity past, when Christ would come and take into union with his own Godhead or humanity, when that moment came, Paul put it this to the Galatians, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. Oh, Christ came, God sending his own son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He didn't come in sinful flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. His humanity was holy, pure, without sin, without corruption. But sinner friend, in this meeting, understand this, right at this point, Christ came for sinners. He came without sin. He knew no sin. He didn't sin. He couldn't sin, but he came to deal with sin. He came to deal with sin. You cannot separate the manger and the cross. It can't be separated. The manger was always leading to the Calvary. Our brother sang that piece. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Why did he die? Why did the Prince of Glory die? He died for sin. Whose was it? It wasn't his doing, have any. It was my sin. It was people like you and I that gather in these choral services. Think of the incarnation of Christ. But understand, dear people, the glory of what happened there. God came in the person of his blessed Son, God incarnate, God, the God-man. Two distinct natures, one person forever. He came to mediate. Paul, when writing to Timothy, he said to Timothy, there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, dear people, understand this, a true mediator. A true mediator stands between two opposing factions and he brings them together. But a true mediator has to be able to represent both parties equally. And therefore the only one qualified to mediate between God and man is the one that was laid in the manger. He was God of very gods. He was man of very man. He was the God-man. He's qualified to be the mediator. It rolls out a pope. It rolls out a priest. It rolls out a preacher. It rolls out the world's religions. Because only Christ is qualified to be that mediator. And to bring man back to God. Again, unsaved friend, listen to me. You desperately need the one that was laid in the manger. He was God, he was man, therefore he's qualified to be the mediator between God and man. But some in this meeting, and listen, I'm a stranger, so I don't know you. I look across this gathering, I don't really know who's saved and who's not, apart from those I know. But there are some in this meeting, undoubtedly, in a meeting this size, and you don't have Christ. and you've come tonight, and we're so glad to see you here, and you've sung the chorals, and you've sung that choral of Wesley's, "Mild he laid his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth," and some of you have never experienced it. You've never been born again. You've never been saved. As I said, your sin has never been forgiven. Who was the child in the manger? He was the God man. He was God. He was man. Why did he come? Look at verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You see, Christ's people, their great problem was their sin. It was their sin. And I want you to understand what it says here. Save his people from their sins. It's personal. And sinner, understand this too. Your sin is your sin. It's your fault. It was committed. It's nobody else's fault. God says it's your sin. Christ came to save his people from their sins. Sin is personal. That's why everybody blames everybody else for sin. The blame game of sins is all the sin itself. Adam blamed Eve. Adam blamed God. Adam blamed the devil. God said, "Adam, it's your sin." He said it through Paul in Romans 5 verse 12. "As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Sinner, it's your sin. God says it's your sin. Let me ask you something about it. What good has it done you? You say, "Preacher, I'm only in this meeting because somebody asked me to come." Friend, answer that question. What good has your sin done you? You want it, it's your sin. You tell me what good it's doing you. Does it help you sleep? With the realization that if you don't wake up, it's still your sin? Does it help you sleep with the thought that you meet God, it's still your sin? Does it help you sleep with the realization you get into God's eternity, it's still your sin? And forevermore, it's your sin. It's nobody else's. It's nobody else's fault. It's your sin. My sin's mine. The sinner friend in this meeting, you have desperately got to deal with your sin. Because it is your sin. And it's your fault. It's your fault it was committed. God says so. You're guilty. You're guilty of high treason against the Almighty. I want you to understand that God never said that sin didn't bring pleasure. He never said that anywhere. Sin does bring pleasure. But that pleasure doesn't last. You don't ever judge anything by how it begins. You judge it on how it ends. What's the end of sin? The great white throne of judgment. And the fires of eternal hell. And friend, it's your sin. Every last one of them. I understand people at Christmas time, we all have friends and families, and they don't like to hear this at Christmas. You can't separate the birth of Christ from the subject of sin. It's why he came. To save people from their sins. I tell you, if you could ask Judas tonight, what good did his sin do him? As he betrayed the innocent blood, Oh, I'm sure Judas had great plans for the 30 pieces of silver. Undoubtedly had plans. And he betrayed the innocent blood of our Lord. You asked him tonight, Judas, what good your sin do you? Absalom, what good did your sin do you when you broke your father's heart? What good did it do him when he hung in the oak and left his father crying, Absalom, Absalom, my son, I would have died for thee. Why would he have died for him? Because David's death would have taken him to heaven and Absalom's took him to hell. And all the home was left with was heartbreak. Young person, I do understand you're not going to see sin presented like this on the internet. You're not going to see it presented like that in the paper or television. But the definition of sin is found in this book. God hath joined sin and misery. And every time you see a billboard, young person, that allures you, every time you see something that allures you to sin and to do what that is wrong, you remember that the devil is trying to separate what God has joined, sin and misery. Because sin always brings misery. Every home that was ever broken, it was broken by sin. Every heart that was ever broken by sin. Every prison that was ever filled was filled by sin. But the incarnation was all about the subject of sin. Can't separate them. Can't separate them. The manger was always leading to the cross. Sinner, let me ask you again, what good's it doing you? With the realization in your soul, I'm a breath from eternity. God says it's my sin. I meet God and the subject of my sin. Yeah, you'll meet him. Understand this, dear people. Everybody in this choral service tonight meets God. Some will meet him, bow down, lost in wonder, love, and praise that he ever had mercy on us. I fear others will meet him as judge. Maybe describe the scene that John saw. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it. You know who's upon it? The one that was laid in the manger. And him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And every man was judged out of those things that were written in the books. Sinner, what's in the books? Your sin. Every last one of us. Every sinful word, every sinful thought, every sinful desire, never forgiven. And you've met God on it. I tell you, sinner, don't meet God in your sin. I don't care you never come into a free church in your life again. We're not here to make you a free Presbyterian. I'm telling you, don't meet God in your sin.
if you meet God in your sin, there will never be a day in eternity when God will forgive you for your sin. Never. You see, men only die in two ways. Let me put it differently, just to tie it in with where I'm at tonight. People in Lurgan only die in two ways. In Christ or in sin. But sinner friend, what I'm showing you here is this. The incarnation was for the purpose that you would never die in sin. You can die in Christ. See, I said that manger was always laid into the cross. Every step that Christ took from the manger to Gethsemane, to Gabbatha, to Golgotha, every step he took it for sinners. He gave that obedience to God's law that you and I haven't given and you and I can't give. Christ gave it for sinners. And then he went to that cross, hanging between a holy heaven and a vile earth, shedding his holy blood to wash away your sin and my sin. Sinner, I go back to where I started. Friend, you desperately need Christ. He's qualified to be the Savior. In the glory of his person, he's God, he's man. As man, he suffered. As man, he suffered for sinners. As God, he satisfied for sinners. That all who come to him might receive the forgiveness of their sins. I tell you, sinner, there is nothing like forgiveness in the whole world. The forgiveness of God I'm talking about. To be forgiven by God for your sins is just this. Put your head in the pillow. Never wake up. It's okay. I'm forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. I tell you, friend, there's nothing like it. God saved me when I was 29 years old. I was in the bar that day. I got saved that night. I didn't know much when I left that meeting. I got saved then, but I knew two things, and those two things were all I needed to know. My sins were all forgiven. I was on my way to heaven. I tell you, friend, there's nothing like it. All the regrets are forgiven. All the things we wish we'd never done, said, thought, gone. Under the blood. Your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. That's what the Lord says to the sinner that comes. I tell you, there's no message like the gospel. You can take it to the deathbed. There's forgiveness of sins in Christ. You can take it into the prison. There's forgiveness of sins in Christ. And take it to the pulpit, street corner, somebody's living room, factory floor. I tell you, there's no message like it. Forgiveness of sins in Christ. And that is the message of the incarnation. Call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. The question is this. Remember, sinner, it's your sin. It's mine too. What
are you going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?
That's the question.
Every other question you're asked over this Christmas period fades into insignificance before this question. Because what you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ, will determine how you die. It'll determine where you go when you die. Come to Christ, it's heaven. Reject Christ, it's hell. The gospel's black and white.
Oh, I understand there are parts of the Bible and some of them are deep things in the scriptures. We understand that.
But there are things that are very simple. Die in Christ, it's heaven. Die without Christ, it's eternal perishing. The question is this. How will you die? Can't be avoided. It's coming. Every cemetery you see in Lurgan, dear people, it's a message all on its own. It tells you and it tells me we're not the first people to ever be in Lurgan. Others lived here. Others walked these streets. Others reared their families. But the Bible says man dieth. Man wasteth away. Man giveth up the ghost. There's the reality of it. But the question about it is this. Where is he?
Honestly, a friend, my time's gone, but I want you to understand something. You're not going out of existence.
Ever. Your soul is eternal. In 1,000 years' time, everyone in this meeting will be somewhere. The confines of God's eternity are two, folks. Heaven with Christ, hell without him. Where are you going? How are you going to die? There's only our two ways.
In Christ or without Christ.
Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Sinner, I couldn't care less what your sin is. I said that this morning, it's absolutely none of my business, nor anybody else's for that matter. Your sin's between you and God. But between you and God it is, nonetheless. And you die out of Christ, you meet God in the subject of your sin. We hear all these people at times and they say,
well, if such and such is a Christian, he can forget.
They're a hypocrite. That's what they say.
I don't doubt that. But when you meet God, the subject is not the hypocrite's sin. The subject is your sin. If you have died out of Christ, I say it again, sinner, don't meet God in your sin. Don't go there. Don't do that. There is nothing as solemn and serious as a gospel meeting. Because neither the preacher nor the person in the pew knows will they ever hear another message or will they ever preach another one.
You know what?
Somebody in this meeting dies next. That's just the way life is. Today, tomorrow, a week or month, year, somebody here is going to pass away next out of this gathering. I tell you, dear unsaved friend, it would be better as a Christian. But only God knows who it is. You need Christ. You desperately need Christ. But the message is this: you can have him. Because it's the very purpose he left heaven, to save his people from their sins. You say, "Preacher, can I be saved tonight?" You can be saved right now.
Can I be forgiven for all my sin tonight?
Right now.
Can I be sure of heaven right now? Right now.
Lift your heart to God. Repent, believe the gospel. Embrace the Savior of sinners. Embrace the one that came into this world, was laid in the manger, and left that manger, and every moment of his life he lived it for sinners and died on that cross to save them. Embrace him. And tonight you pass from death unto life. Will you come to him?
In the closing moments of the choral service in Lurgan Free Church, December 2014, will you be saved?
Will you say, "Preacher, yes. The blood will wash me tonight. Tonight God will be my Savior, and tonight I will be forgiven for my sins because they're mine." Will you come to him? Come to him, friend. You couldn't be in a better place tonight. We know where you're at. Every Christian beside you in this church knows where you're at. They once sat where you sit. They once felt as you now feel. Come to Christ. Let me say this and I'm closing. I fully expect, dear unsaved friend, in this meeting, for there to be many thoughts in your mind right now as to why you shouldn't come to Christ right now. I want you to understand those thoughts came from Lucifer. Every one of them. Every thought that tells you not now came from Satan. That's it diagnosed. It's what's called the battle for the soul. But Jesus says, "Come now. Come now, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Gone. Though they be red as crimson, they'll be as wool." I tell you, that's the glory of the incarnation. The glory of the gospel. He saves his people from their sins. And heaven was opened for sinners, and heaven will be populated by sinners saved by grace. Will you be among them? Let's unite our hearts in prayer. And while every head is bowed and the Lord's people are praying, dear unsaved, we are so glad to see you in the meeting tonight. But friend, you need Christ. He's here. You could do nothing better right now than just lift your heart to heaven. Say, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." You have his promise, he'll save you. Just in the quietness of your heart, in the moment of time, you pass from death unto life, into peace with God. Come to Christ. If you like to speak to myself or the Reverend Crane or maybe a Christian friend with you, make that need known. Be our joy to help you. Show you how you can be saved. Come to Christ. Don't die without Him. Don't meet God in your sin. But enter in to the celestial city. In Christ and through Him. And forever be with the Lord. Father, take Thy word. Bless it to every heart. Bless what's been of Thee. Whatever's been of the preacher, just let it fall to the ground. But oh God, give deciding grace. And in these moments, God, bind the devil. Bring souls right through for Thee. Give help, we pray. May heaven rejoice. May the angelic choir sing over souls being converted in this meeting. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.